Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
We're continuing to look at the Lord's Prayer today. From the Gospel of Luke, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And again, we noted in the Gospel of Luke especially, a lot of emphasis is placed on Jesus as an example for prayer. Then in Matthew, "Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now, I should just step aside just for a moment. When we were in Africa, you know, the people, to us at least, spoke an accented kind of English. And they said hello, hallow, H-A-L-L-O. And so when they came to this line, "Hallowed be your name," they thought this was saying, "Hello, God, how are you?" But it really means holy. "Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Back a number of years ago, there was a doctoral student, a candidate for his doctorate at Princeton University, and he was talking to a visiting lecturer there, and he asked the lecturer, "Is there any area still left in this world for original research? Is there any area still left for original research that someone else hasn't already done?" And the visiting lecturer was Albert Einstein. And Einstein said, "Find out about prayer. Someone must find out about prayer. Lord, teach us to pray." That was the request of the disciples. And Jesus answered, it's interesting, he didn't answer with gimmicks or techniques. He never goes there. He answered with a sample, very simple prayer: "Our Father who art in heaven." And at this time, over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at that prayer for what it says to our lives. Last week, we looked at the opening line, our Father who art in heaven. And we saw that for Jesus, God was more like the beating heart of a good parent than anything else we know. And today, we continue on and we start to look at some of the requests, some of the petitions that are made in that prayer that Jesus gave his disciples. And there are seven requests. And I'm going to take the first three as really one request. Three ways of saying the same thing: hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think this is an example of what's called Hebrew parallelism. The Hebrews had a habit, especially if you read something like the Psalms, where they would say something, and if you don't understand it, look at the line above it or below it, because often they said the same thing in a slightly different way. And that's what I'm taking our focus today as. One point, three ways of saying the same thing. Hallowed be thy name. God's name will be made holy when his kingdom comes in all its fullness, and when his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's significant, I think, as we look at this prayer. I don't know about you and your prayers, but I think in mine I'm very self-centered. And right away, I'm to God with my needs. You know, help me pass this exam. That goes back to high school. Help me with this, help me with that. But notice the Lord's Prayer doesn't begin with us. It's a prayer for the fulfillment, the completion of God's loving purpose for this world. The Lord's Prayer starts with God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus, if you recall the scriptures, Jesus focused on this in his ministry, on the kingdom of God. He starts out, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. He tells his disciples, you know, seek first the kingdom of God. And we have the miracles in the Gospels, and they're all like snapshots. They're all pictures of what it means when we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And think of those miracles. The hungry are fed, the deaf hear, the blind see, the sick are healed, the lame walk, the storm is stilled, those who are rejected and friendless are welcomed. This is the kingdom. A picture of what it's all about. And I think we often think of our faith in terms of our own salvation. But Jesus' idea of the kingdom includes that, and that's important. But it's much larger than that. Jesus' picture of the kingdom is the healing of all creation. Remember back to the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, and this is a passage that is often read at Christmas time. And it goes like this. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall be with the calf. The lion and the lamb will feed together. And a little child shall lead them. There'll be no more violence. And the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God, as the waters cover the sea. The world shall be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. The healing of all creation. And this means, you know, our relationship with one another is healed. Our relationship with nature is healed. What the Bible talks about, you know, swords being hammered into plowshares. The book of Revelation pictures this as, you know, a time when the tears shall be wiped from our eyes and death shall be no more. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what it means when we say, thy will be done on earth. That's a picture. Thy kingdom come. I think as we look out on the world, as we hear the news today, as we look at our own lives, we have a feeling that things just aren't the way they were meant to be. The kingdom of God is not here in its fullness. But having said that, wherever there is justice, wherever peace is made, wherever there is love, wherever there is healing, we find a flash, however imperfect, of what that kingdom is about. That has implications. That has implications when we take those words on our mouths, when we say those prayers, we're really committing ourselves to do what we can for the hungry, for the poor, for the disenfranchised, for the friendless. We're called to make a difference. There's a news report that goes back. We've just been through Florence and what it's done to the Carolinas. But that made me think of Katrina and what it did to New Orleans. And I remember a news report that came out of that time. And if you remember, the people at that time were sort of just jammed into the Super Bowl. They were jammed into the Civic Center. Just this horde of humanity and squalor. It wasn't a good situation. And there was a story about this man, Samuel Thompson, who came into the Superdome with his violin. And he took the violin out of its case and started playing the violin. And a reporter from the Los Angeles Times was there and asked him, "What are you doing?" And he said, "These people have nothing, absolutely nothing. I have my violin, I should play for them. They deserve something." And picture now just the music of that violin going out over that scene of just humanity squashed together. And I think the Lord's Prayer and its request for the coming of God's kingdom is like that over our world today. It's music going out over a lot of the suffering we know that's in the world today. And it's a music of hope, a music of another world of God's grace. It's music that says things don't have to stay the way they are. They can change. And you know, I think that has implications for us. Because again, I think God is calling each one of us to live out the kingdom, to work with him as co-workers to the building of the kingdom. And this may mean, hey, I shouldn't be as caught up in my possessions as I am. Perhaps I shouldn't be as self-centered as I am. Perhaps I should be more feeling to what's going on about me. Perhaps I should care more for my family. Think about the implications. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're asked to help with that, to help make this world a better place with what we have. Again, the prayer, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. is a prayer for the healing of all creation, for the fulfillment of God's loving purpose, the completion of everything in Christ's love. But this also has something to say to us as individuals, I think. It means that change is called for within ourselves. We are called to a higher standard. When you take that prayer seriously, we are called to a higher standard. Now, I should confess before I give you this parable why I'm giving it to you, because to a certain extent, I'm like the author of the parable I'm going to read for you, in that, at least in part of my life, I'm a slob. I'm a closet slob. In most of my life, I'm okay. You come to my house, my wife sees that it's clean. You know? But you come to my office at home, and it's a mess. I know where everything is, but I'm organized horizontally along the floor, papers, books, all the rest. So I have great sympathy for this parable that I'm going to share with you. This is from Max Lucado. He writes religious books. And he says, his confession was that he was a closet, well, not so much a closet slob, but he was a slob. I was slow to see the logic of neatness. Why make a bed? Why make up a bed when you're just going to get back into it in the evening? Why not leave your clothes on the floor at the bottom of the bed when you're just going to get back into them in the morning? Why put the top on the toothpaste when you're going to use it again in the morning? This man is right on my style a little bit, more than I care to admit. He says, I was compulsive about being messy. Then you know what happened. Then I got married. Danilin, that's the name of his wife, Danilin, was so patient. She said she didn't mind my sloppy habits as long as I didn't mind sleeping outside at night. Since I did, I began to change. I enrolled in a 12-step program for slobs. A physical therapist showed me how to rediscover muscles that were used to put a shirt on a hanger and muscles that were used to put the toilet paper on that hook. My nose was reintroduced to the fragrance of pine saw. Then came the moment of truth. My wife was going away for a week. And he says, I thought I'd revert to the old man while she was away. I thought I'd go back to being a slob for 6 days, and then I would kind of clean up for the seventh day when she was returning. But something strange happened. A curious discomfort. I couldn't relax anymore with dirty dishes in the sink. When I saw an empty potato chip bag on the floor, I actually leaned over and picked it up and put it in the garbage. I actually put my bath towel back up on the rack. But what had happened to me? Simple. I had been exposed to a higher standard. And I think that's what the Lord's Prayer, in its own way, does for us. we're introduced as individuals to a higher standard of what's expected of us. Again, to live our lives with integrity, to live our lives with a concern for those who are less fortunate, for ourselves, to live our lives doing what we can to help those who are hungry, those who are sick, those who don't have a friend. I remember a businessman in Danbury saying to me, he made helicopter blades, very complicated ones, composite blades. And he said to me, you know, I can teach anyone the job. What I need is an honest person. And that's what I want, an honest person. We're called to a higher standard when we really take the reign of Christ seriously and take it into our hearts and live it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And remember, we're called to roll up our sleeves. We can't bring it in all its fullness. Only God can do that with the kingdom. But we're certainly called to roll up our sleeves and do what we can to help.